Welcome back to the third episode of the Elite Nation podcast. It's Haystack alongside Maverick and Dope, and we are going to talk about all kinds of stuff, including Deadpool coming out. We're excited. Valentine's Day this weekend. Blade and Soul success. Diablo 3. The Super Bowl happened. World of Warcraft's movie is coming out. And there's a little game called The Division coming soon that we are a little excited about. All that and more on this edition of the Elite Nation podcast.
Here's the story of goofy game geeks who love to podcast about some games. Each time they'd start a show, the game would falter. This got to be real lame. Here's the story of these same game geeks who decided they'd just do a random show. So now they bullshit, talk about whatever. Each week you never know. So each week when you hear our little podcast, we hope you laugh and have a lot of fun. And you'll come back next week for yet another episode of the show we call Elite Nation. The Elite Nation. The Elite Nation. That's the way we became the Elite Nation.
Episode 3 of the Elite Nation podcast. We are recording on Wednesday night, the 10th of February, 2016. I'm Haystack, and joining me today, as always, Maverick. What's up, buddy?
Hey, everybody. Hey, Mr. Haystack. How's it going today?
Doing all right, man. You having a good week so far?
Oh, it's been pretty good. Doing some gaming and having some fun.
Good deal. Good deal. You still swordering it up?
Pretty much every day.
You addict.
Are you really?
You addict.
Oh, yeah. I play every day.
What is your favorite part about that game?
So far, it's the story that when you're leveling up and getting through that and how it's been streamlined from where it was when they first released.
Man, what class are you?
I have multiple characters, but the one I'm the highest up is the Sith Martyr.
Sith Martyr?
Yes.
Marauder?
Marauder. Oh.
And, you know.
I was like, Sith are a lot of things, but they're not martyrs.
This is true. No, they are not martyrs.
Right.
Well, what's going on, Dope? You doing all right?
Yeah, it's good, man. The baby is sleeping at like 7, which gives me about an hour before I get fucking tired and go to sleep to do things. The Super Bowl happened. Did you guys go to a party?
In my pants.
You beat it.
I think there was only one person at that party in your pants there, buddy.
That's a different kind of Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, we both just stayed in and watched it at the house.
You know who's having their own Super Bowl right now? Bear. Super Vape Bowl.
Yeah. He's going to be doing something since he's too busy to join us on the show.
It's really bad.
Hey, you guys. Let's podcast. I miss doing the show. Let's podcast. Let's do a podcast. When are we doing a podcast? Okay, Bear, we're going to do a podcast. I'm sorry. I can't make it.
I can't make it. You guys go on without me. I'll be all right.
Something came up, you guys. I'm sorry. If we push it to next week, I'll be there. You guys can do it without me, but something came up and I can't do it.
I like how he sounds like Mr. fucking Hanky from South Park.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
You know, somebody told me today that apparently the Stick of Truth is on sale on Steam. Did you guys play that game?
I did, and it's a freaking blast.
Is it really? Yeah,
it is so much fun.
Right, it's a lot of fun.
There's so many little things in that game that if you're a true South Park fanatic, you'll go, holy shit, I remember that from that episode. There's lots of little Easter eggs in the game. It's just a blast.
See, I'm not a fanatic. I think it's good. I'm just not like ridiculous about it.
I mean, you'll still probably enjoy the game, but if for those that are fanatics, you'll really eat it up. There's so many Easter eggs in it. It's a good time.
Right.
It's a good time.
Speaking of a good time, I found out that Rob was your number two man at Hooters. I don't think our listeners knew that.
We never really talk a whole lot about RL.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot.
You were the Hooters king. What is a king of Hooters? Is it like what is the male alpha owl called?
The male alpha owl.
Is it like the Hootmaster general or what?
I like it. The Hootmaster.
No, there's no special title or anything like that. It's
the Wonder Hoot.
boss.
The Midol dispenser extraordinaire.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, man.
Although
Big Cheese at Hooters. I don't think our listeners knew that.
Yeah. Well, I was the second cheese for most of my time there. And then for just a few months, we were in a store that was run down and crummy, and they had a disagreement with the owners of the building, you know, because they lease the building, they don't own it. And so they wound up closing that one down, and I basically only ran it for the last few months. Before that, I was the assistant. So we were both assistants for most of our time there.
You know, I worked at Hooters. That was my second job. My first job was at Steak and Shake, which was okay. I made pretty decent money, actually. My second job was at Hooters. Worst job I've ever had.
Really?
I thought it was going to be the best job I'd ever have, and it definitely was not. And let me tell you why. So I go in there, right, and I interview, and I'm like, I don't know, I'll just take whatever. I'm in high school, like this, you know, this is whatever. This is
right.
So the guy's like, all right, yeah, just come in, you can work in the kitchen or whatever. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm thinking I'm going to be like burger flipper, fucking Mac Daddy with the fucking like kiss the chef apron on, right? And like, it's going to be like this big fucking deal. And the girls are going to be like, make my wings, Big Daddy. And I'm going to be like, I got you, baby. But no. They were like, here, take this fucking plate and put two pieces of lettuce on it in a fucking bun. And that's what you're going to do. And every now and then you're going to take out the garbage. And all the waitresses are going to look at you like you're a piece of shit. And I'm like, oh, I guess that's my job, to be the piece of shit in the corner. I hate myself all the time while the fucking managers are making chicks like eat out of fucking plates of beans and fucking like jumping jacks to go home early and shit. And I'm over there just fucking putting lettuce on plates.
To be fair, we never made anyone eat a plate of beans or any of that shit. So
bullshit. I saw
we really did
boss.
Not. That was not our store. Okay. We played games, but they were not degrading to our wonderful young ladies.
Good times. Yeah. Worst job ever, actually.
Yeah.
But eat at Hooters.
You know, I was never a big fan of chicken wings, but Hooters actually has some pretty legit ass wings. Like, they're really good. They're better than those Wild Wings, I can tell you that.
Pretty good. The naked ones are good.
Pretty tasty.
Naked chicken wings are good. I'm not a big breaded guy.
Naked Daytona.
You know what else I found out about chicken wing? This has nothing to do with video games.
Yeah,
nothing at all, but that's great.
Listen, I found out. So chicken wings, number one, I always thought the drumette part and the little two-bone flapper part, I thought one was the dude's leg and the other one was his actual wing. I didn't know that those two things are the same appendage. It's just really long and they cut them in half. That's the first thing I didn't know. The second thing I didn't know was that the flappers are like 10 times more popular than the drumettes, which I don't get why that's true, because drumettes are infinitely better.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree with y'all. Drumettes are the best.
So I went to Kickback Jack's, which is like this little local sports bar, and they're like, we had to stop offering for free the choice of picking the drumettes and the flappers, because at the end of the night we'd be stuck with like, the drumettes and the flappers, and I'd be like, people are idiots. So now I have to pay $1.
See, I think that's got to be like a local thing, because at our store we actually charged extra for all drummies. Because they were more popular.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you hail from a weird place.
Speaking of giving
weird
somebody
places.
A phone that they like, Valentine's Day is a week.
Transitioning. I knew that was coming.
You guys got some shit going on for Valentine's Day?
I was kindly hoping to go watch Deadpool.
That is a good thing to do.
I just don't think they'll let me take my my significant other, my dog, in. And I don't have any papers for him yet, so.
No. You know what I heard about Deadpool, Haystack? Are you excited about this movie, by the way?
I am. I'm really excited. And I'm not a comic book guy, but I'm looking forward to this movie.
I heard in the movie that he fights a guy fully naked. And I'm not excited about that because I get to see Ryan Reynolds' dick. That's not why I'm excited about it. I just think he said it in the movie that it proves that you're fucking crazy if you're willing to fight a guy with your dong out, which is pretty true. I also think you're crazy to fight somebody who's trying to fight you if their dong is out.
Yeah, I mean, if you come at me butt-ass naked, I ain't fighting you.
No.
I'm either shooting you or running away. Those are the only two options.
There will
be no hand-to-hand or hand-to-dong combat.
Hand-to-dong combat.
That's great.
Not going to happen.
Going to pull the hair and just pulling like the dong and like throwing somebody around. Oh, that's just terrible. I'm
a visual person. Please stop.
Right. I did say, who was it? Daniel Tosh that says, if you're going to get in a fight with somebody, just drop your pants because no one will fight a guy with a boner, which I guess is true.
Here's my question, though. Why do you have a boner if you're in the middle of a fight with a dude? If that's the case, then I will guarantee you, you're wearing an affliction shirt.
Correct. Or a tap out shirt.
Yeah.
Correct. Affliction tap out. Yeah, no. I just don't see how you could ever be angry enough to fight a naked guy.
Right?
I don't get it.
I don't either.
Yeah.
So should we actually talk about some games and geekery?
I'm not getting it. Blade and Soul, which I didn't get, is at 2 million players.
Well, it's at 2 million downloads. Once again, I think that's a fair point to make. That doesn't mean they've retained that many, but it's still an impressive number.
It is double the number. But we just did when did we talk about that? It was on our first show?
It was in the past. I don't know.
Yeah. I've slept since then.
One of the first two shows.
Yeah.
1 million, and now it's at 2 million. But it's got to be unique downloads, though, because it can't be like the same dude downloading it more than once.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I'm just saying, of the 2 million unique people who have downloaded it, how many people have gone, this is cool, and stuck around, and how many people have played it for 10 minutes and said, fuck this shit, I'm moving on?
Probably a significant portion.
Yeah, you think so? What is it that you think is making this game see success, or at least get people to try it out? Have you played it?
I
have not.
I
know nothing about it, other than it's made by Ghetto Blizzard. Right?
What? Gizzard.
Gizzard. It's my Gizzard.
Gizzard.
I did get in one of the closed beta weekends. I got a code from somewhere and I was like a little excited to play it. My problem with that game and games like it, like Terra, is I don't like having the mouse be auto look all the time. Like I don't like having to basically like hold alt to bring up where I can like click on things with the mouse.
Right.
I like to hold down right click to make my camera look so that my camera's not looking when I don't want it to look. But it doesn't do that in a game like Braden. So I guess what I'm saying is the combat, while it's kind of fun, is the control system kind of turns me off.
So it's not intuitive?
It can be. I don't want to say that. It can be for that kind of game. It's just not my preferred style. And I also, it's kind of a little anime-y and cartoony-y. And so it looks dated to me, I guess, is what I'm saying too. Cause it is, all right. It's like 3 or 4 years old already.
Right.
You know, the exception to that is Black Desert, which is coming out, March 3rd or 8th or 10th or some shit, some early March.
Yeah.
Has mouse look combat, but it's just like it's done sort of differently, and I guess, and I enjoy it more because it feels weightier. Have you guys, speaking of Black Desert, have you seen the character creator for that game?
I saw some videos and stills where people had used, you know, they were bragging about their character creation, and they released their character creator as a standalone app for people to play with, and people were creating celebrity faces, and I thought they looked legit as hell.
Have you seen?
They look cool. Is that all that you need for a game?
Right. Have you seen the Michael Jackson one? I'll link it right here.
I have not.
Click that.
Okay.
And we'll post it for our listeners too.
That's crazy.
Oh God.
It's good, right?
It's good enough that it just made my wiener retreat out my asshole.
Oh, that's pretty hard. That's a long
no,
journey.
No, it's not.
That's like a fucking pilgrimage. So
fuck you, man.
So, but see, that's the thing, right? Like, so Black Death, and I can confirm, like, their character creator is insane. But I'm gonna ask you guys: is character creation really that important to you?
Like, yes.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, no. I mean, yeah. It's at least it's a selling point in marketing and in sales. You know, I'm in the broadcast world. And when we talk to clients about marketing their business, we talk about something called the unique selling proposition. Everything has to have a unique selling proposition. What makes you different? And if amazing character creation is the big USP for Black Desert Online, then yes, it's absolutely important that it be that amazing. And they looks like they've really crushed it.
Well, and one other thing is when you get... sorry, I was reading your notes as you were typing. When you make a character that is that intuitive and not intuitive, you know, that you put that much time and effort and built it into what you want, you get more of a connection to that character.
You become more attached, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and to me, that's another big selling point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think you have to have it, but I think if that's going to be your, like I said, I think if that's going to be your selling point, then yeah, it needs to be amazing. And based on what you just sent us, I mean, I really thought this was like a Michael Jackson hologram or some shit. This is amazing.
Yeah, I guess my thing too is I like being able to recreate the same thing, like if I do alts and stuff like that. And with games where it's super configurable, like in Black Desert, I've tried to make a Berserker like 4 times, and I'm like never happy with it because like I've always like something I wanted to do differently. I would just rather be like body 4, face 2, hair 7, whatever. And like,
well, I was going to say, no matter how detailed it is, it's still based on certain parameters, and so somebody will probably be able to come out with a tool where you can go, all right, I'm going to copy this character's attributes, and then you can paste them in somewhere else.
Well, you can save it, but it's only I think anyway, you save it, there's like one save thing, you just put like save configuration, it saves whatever it is. So I'm sure you can probably like download other people's like created dudes or whatever, but I don't know. I just think it's funny that they spend so much of their, like, I guess you're right with the marketing thing, but like,
here's the thing, I'm almost willing to give this thing, and I'm not like, I remember seeing that it looked intriguing and they had amazing character creation, but I think that the three of us at the very least should buy this game, support it, so that we can go in and create Bear in the game for amazing machinima purposes.
That sounds like a pretty good idea, actually.
We can make so many amazing videos.
Oh my god! We could give him hats and like stripper outfits. You imagine Bear in like some like fucking knee high like stripper boots and like a black leather skirt.
Oh yeah, baby! Put a dollar in my thong. Put it right there. Put it right there.
The problem is we have to do this without leaving the starting area.
Right. Can level 2 characters get a camp or something? The world will never know.
Oh, the world will know. We will have to find out. Oh. So Overwatch beta is back.
Did you guys get in at all?
No, I haven't paid any attention to it, if I'm being honest.
To Overwatch?
Yeah, that's what I just said, right? I didn't stutter or anything.
You're not excited not about really. Overwatch at all, though?
No. Is that the Blizzard MOBA?
No, that's Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, yeah. See, that tells you. I don't even know what it is.
You just lost all your credibility for anyone who ever listens to our show.
I never had any.
That's true. Rob, do you know what Overwatch... You got to know what Overwatch is, right?
Not really.
What?
So yeah, I know.
You guys should probably... We'll just table this conversation for episode 4. And
why don't you explain to us what Overwatch is?
That's like saying explain Warcraft. Can you do that? It's difficult, right?
In 20 seconds.
All right.
Great little opportunity, Kurt.
All right. So Overwatch, you know what a Team Fortress 2 is?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's that, but Blizzardized.
Yeah, it took you 3 seconds to explain what it was. Come on, dude.
I mean, it's, I suppose, I mean, a lot of people are excited about it. Supposedly it's going to be, you know, like the big, you know, the next big deal for Blizzard.
That's the key word. You said Blizzard, and that's why I haven't paid attention to it, because Blizzard is kind of dead to me.
Why?
I don't know. I can't explain it. I think I got so burned out with World of Warcraft that anything Blizzardy just makes me... It's like how... Have you ever been really, really drunk on a certain kind of liquor? And you get to the point where if you smell that liquor, it'll turn your stomach?
I think you just described everyone's reaction to Jaeger.
Okay, there you go. Blizzard has become Jaegermeister to me.
Really? Really?
Yes. I can't explain it. Yeah, it is sad. I'm not proud of it. It's just the truth.
I... you know, people will say this is entitled or whatever. I've supported Blizzard for a really long time and gave them a lot of money. And I just think, you know, like Black Desert Online, right? I think it's going to be a free to play. It might be buy to play. There have been plenty of games that were free to play that had their little pre-release packs or whatever. And they like hook you up for that, like with, you know, like let you be in the testing and send you like updates and shit like that.
Right.
Blizzard doesn't do any of that. Like, you would think that like Overwatch has sent out thousands and thousands of invites. Like, I pre-ordered that shit and I'm still not in the beta, still have never played it. And 90% of my battle tag friends list is on it like right now. And yeah, I mean, you call that butthurt, you can call it entitled, whatever you want, but I mean, for Blizzard, the company that, you know, supposedly like does the best of everything, like other companies damn sure do a better job of like appreciating people that give them money more than Blizzard does. So
it's just because Blizzard has gotten so big that they don't feel like they have to appreciate you.
Right. Or they gave me my exclusive pre-order fucking skin that I don't give a flying fucking bear dick about. That's supposed to be my reward. Thanks.
Flying bear dick might be your reward. Maybe you should.
Well, speaking of Kept Blizzard, remember I told you about, you guys, did you guys, when we talked about Diablo last time, did you guys say you played or you didn't play?
Nope.
I have played, just not recently.
Okay. Stack, you ever play?
I mean, I've seen it. I think I may have. I don't remember. I don't think I've ever played Diablo. I don't generally like the top-down stuff.
Yeah. Well, you should give Diablo 3 a shot. But anyway, so I started playing Diablo 3 on console because Terry did played it, you know?
Yeah.
And play is really good, actually, just to sit on my couch and kill demons. But what I found out is what they did with Diablo, I guess, I don't know why they did this, but all of the character and item data for that is stored locally on your machine.
Right.
So what that means is that you can take a save. Let me tell you the story. So I'm playing Diablo, and I'm like, I grinded my way all the way to level 70, and I'm like, I need to get some gear. Maybe I'll play with some people, right, and run some rifts and shit. And like in computer, you just go to like Torment 10, which is like the hardest difficulty, run with some people, good gear drops, and you get geared pretty fast. So I'm like, all right, that's what I want to do because I don't want to fucking, you know, grind it myself. So I go in this difficulty, and like these kids are like laying waste to like the hardest shit, like Greater Rift, like 90s, which are like fucking impossible. And this guy's just like mowing it down like it's nothing. And I like look at his gear and I'm like, I don't know where that dropped or how you get that, but I don't think that is even like a thing in the game. It was like Russian test crossbow of the mercenary. And it had like three sockets on it with like maxed out like crazy, you know, epic gems and shit. And I'm like, where did that, like, how much did this guy play to get that thing to drop? And so I kept playing, and when you get into the games, a lot is, so it's hacked gear. So what guys do is they take their save, they copy it to a USB, put it on a computer, edit it, put all this shit in these items, and then put it back on their thing, and then they go. And then you can take this shit to the online thing, which is crazy to me. Like, the Blizzard would allow that. But so I go into one of these games, and these guys are like trading this hacked gear. And in the game, you drop it on the ground. So like you drop your item on the ground, whoever can pick it up. Well, I just like fucking just pour it into like these dudes' game, because that's what you do. You just like join and you just pop in. You're like, hey, what's up? There's like 40 legendaries on the ground that these guys were like exchanging back and forth. Then I'm like, hey, look, free loot. And I was just like, loot, 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 loot. Stole every fucking one of their fucking things. And I just deuced. like just out. And I got back to my thing. And
weren't you just bitching about that last time about somebody doing that to you?
Last week, you're bitching that Poe did that to you in the Division fucking beta.
Yeah, but that's a guy I knew. That's a guy I knew.
But anyway, you didn't.
Listen, so I get back to the thing. And I'm looking in my thing. And I'm like, oh, you know, I just wanted to get some legendaries. I didn't know it was the hack gear because I didn't know how common that was. And I looked and I got a weapon that was like 380,000 DPS. And I'm like, what the shit? And it was like test ring 516 and it had like 1600% damage. And I was like, I wonder if this shit actually works. And it does work. And so now I told myself I'm at a crossroads because I can't delete this gear because it's like the gear
badass. I
bring it back and it's like makes the game almost, you know, nothing. So I'm like, what I could do is just use it to get the right set pieces for my character, regardless of like how good they are, just get the right set. So I can do like the higher level shit myself. And then like, I'll just get rid of it at that point. And that's how I rationalized it with myself. But I don't know, man, it's actually all like, it's put me in a weird place. So I say all that to ask you guys this, if you could play a game, like let's say in The Division, right? If you could start out and just click a thing that says, give me the badass in-game rifle at level one, would you do it?
The answer for me is I would definitely do it. And then I would be bored of the game really quick and start playing something else.
Right. So you could not turn that down. You would do it.
I'd have to do it. And then I would be disappointed in myself later for having been bored with the game now.
Right. What about you?
You really have to ask.
You would do it too then.
Fuck yes, I would.
Just a headshot bear every single time he spawns.
Absolutely. No, I would do it because I'm one of those fucking jackasses that, like with World of Warcraft, I'm not reading quest text. I've got the add-on that auto accepts your shit. I don't give a fuck about the experience in a game like that because I think it's all fucking random bullshit. I'm just trying to get to a place. I'm trying to get to the end of my journey as quickly as I can because it may be about the journey for some people, but for me, most of the storylines in video games are not compelling enough unless they're one of those really unique games like a Heavy Rain that is completely story-driven. Or some of the stuff in, dare I say, The Secret World.
I think that's what brought me back to, like we were talking earlier, Swarter. You know, the storyline in it is compelling, and every class has its own. So it feels more unique to you.
But, I mean, let's be honest, dude. You're such a Star Wars fanboy that I could write any kind of shit story. I could steal a storyline from a daytime soap opera on Spanish television and just replace some of the words with Force and Sith and Dark Side and Light Side and Jedi and all this stuff. And you'd be like, oh, my God, it's an amazing story. Because
actually,
Star Wars words in it.
You know, to completely counteract and shut you down on that, there's a ton of different Star Wars games out on apps and stuff that I don't touch, don't play, don't care to. We can even go all the way back to Knights of the Old Republic. I've never played it. Don't ever intend on playing it. I play the Battlefront, and I enjoy this one. And yes, I am a Star Wars fanboy. I enjoy it, but I don't play all the games, and I don't play them that long if they're not compelling.
The fact that you play Battlefront kind of counteracts the whole "I love the story" argument.
Well, I played that because it was fun. You go around, you just blow shit up. That's my new
Call of Duty.
Yeah. Call of Duty. You know, that's my. I don't feel like trying to get into anything. I feel like mind-numbingly shooting people in the face.
You know what I heard about Battlefront, though? I heard they intentionally made the guns inaccurate to simulate you being a stormtrooper and can't shoot things.
Yep.
They don't. There's not very much that increases your accuracy.
See, that's kind of. I don't know.
But it's on both sides. It's not just the stormtrooper. It's if you're on the
right,
Republic
so
side
it,
and all that,
suck.
You still suck.
So anyway,
there's no point. Hang on. I will say
these are video games. We can talk about
in
those.
Rob's
okay.
Defense, the storylines in SWTOR are the best questing in any MMO ever because they are compelling and you get dialogue choices. Did you do it, Stack?
Yeah, a little bit. And I get it.
You played to like level four.
Oh, that's not true. I played longer than that. But here's my question. And I haven't leveled a cap on any of the classes. So I, you know, maybe my critiquing
is
a bit unfair.
You haven't got out of the starting area.
That's not true.
You bared it up.
Oh, my God. We said it at the same time. Oh, my God. What's up, Stack?
So my question, I'm trying to have a decent conversation here about this topic. My question is, when you choose, like, I've seen a lot of these deals where you choose what your dialogue is, and that's supposed to be compelling, but in the end, it doesn't really change anything.
Yes, this does change stuff.
It does, all the way through, even through expansions.
But does it change the story, or does it just change some little meter on your character sheet?
Not your meter. It changes the story. You can go in later, and it's like, oh, yeah, you killed that guy, so that you can't even do that now.
Right. I mean, it's not like... So I'm sure when they design these things, right, you can't have it fucking hang a right on Story Street and go like into the next country. You know what I mean? Like they all have to kind of sort of get to a similar
place. They get you to the same places, but there's been an aspect in the game already where I've played through on multiple characters and changed what I said on in the storyline, not the character story, but the planetary story. And I didn't get to do a little piece of the story because I did a different option. It wasn't even like, it just sent me to do a different thing.
Right. So,
and, I thought that was, I was like, oh, so it does matter.
What were we talking about just before we get on this whole SWTOR thing?
I don't know.
We were talking about, we started off with you getting your super Russian gun in Diablo. Would we take the super powerful gun? And then, we transitioned into Maverick talking about how SWTOR is awesome and Battlefront's awesome. And then I gave him shit about being a Star Wars fanboy.
Yeah.
That's about right.
That's pretty much how we ended here. So anyway, I wanted to try to bring all this back on the rails and say, dope, don't feel bad. We would cheat too, is what it really all boils down to.
Oh, definitely.
And I was saying that I don't give a fuck about stories because I don't find them all that compelling. So I'm trying to power through to in-game content as quickly as possible. That's how that whole conversation started.
Because you're a numbers cruncher.
You're not caring about stories. Are you going to watch the Warcraft movie?
I mean, yeah, I'm absolutely going to go see it.
Because the story is not compelling. So you're pretty much there just to see them some orc fucking TNA and eat some popcorn.
I'm there because I spent so many years as a fanboy of World of Warcraft. I led multiple guilds. I let that game eat away literally years of my life. Not years playing, but like actual years in game.
I'm pretty sure that's years playing.
I don't mean just like I played the game for 7 years. I mean literally all the minutes in game added up to well over a year. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, shut the fuck up. Anything that's as cool as a movie being made about World of Warcraft, yes, I'm going to check it out. I'm not going to be there dressed like an orc on opening night, but, you know, a week or two after it releases, when the theater slows down and the body odor finally wafts out from all the fanboys being there.
You know it's going to stink.
That's why I'm not going for at least a couple of weeks.
It's going to smell so
bad. And I'm carrying on my own can of Lysol when I go in.
You know, I'm going to be that guy that's like, I'm going to walk up to the movie theater and she's going to be like, hey, how can I help you? And I'm going to be like, one for the Warcraft film, please. And she's going to be like, what was that? And I'm like, the Warcraft film. She's going to be like, Warcraft? I'm like, shut up, bitch. No, I didn't say that. I said War and Peace and Zombies or whatever that other movie is. That's coming.
So you brought up Warcraft and there's a Reddit thread where a user posted an image of a survey. And it says that Blizzard is basically, there's rumors floating. Blizzard's considering offering a free copy of the World of Warcraft Ultimate Movie Edition with every purchase of a ticket to see the Warcraft movie. And this Ultimate Movie Edition would be the base game, plus every expansion through Draenor, plus an in-game item, and a month of free game time. So, I don't know.
They better fucking not. They better not.
I'd bet dollars to donuts they do, because you know that subscriber numbers have fallen off. The game's not as popular as it once was. Anything to possibly set the hook for new people or returning players, and ooh, yay, I don't have to buy anything except for the most recent expansion, I'm in. Why would they not?
Oh, man, I just, all the way through Draenor, dude, like, I mean, I could get given somebody, like, I mean, I guess, I just.
Because at this point, it's all about pushing Legion box sales.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, they've hinged their bets so much on WoW already by doing this Blizzard is attacking every genre of game thing. I mean, I could see them doing this, but $15 or whatever it is, $10 or $15, and they give you like basically everything. I mean, I guess give the game really isn't the point anymore, right? It's the game right. time and the WoW tokens and the fucking and the what's that other thing?
Here's my question: can I reactivate my old account and put in the Ultimate Movie Edition code
And get all that
and
shit,
get all the like the in-game item and all that stuff? Or do you have to create a new fuck account? Because that's what would piss me off. As long as I can apply this code and get the in-game item showing that I went and saw the stupid fucking movie, you know, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you can probably do that.
And I've swore the last I swore I would never buy this Pandaria. I bought it. I played it for a couple of weeks. Got bored with it. I swore I'd never buy Warlords of Draenor. I bought it. I played it a few days and got bored with it. And I'm swearing I'm never spending another penny on World of Warcraft, but I'll guarantee you I'll buy the fucking new expansion and level my main just because it's my main. And I have that emotional attachment to that stupid fucking Night Elf Druid. And I feel like I've got to get him to the level cap.
Are you on?
And you're going to spend you know, money on Warcraft, the movie.
Right.
At some point.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, Blizzard wants this Warcraft film to do, obviously, they want it to do really, really well. Like, I just hope that the story part of it is, like, good. Because, I mean, like, I started tracking this story in Wrath, you know, and I've gotten a little bit of the base lore. Like, I kind of know stuff with, like, Medivh and all that other like generic or not generic, but the fucking original lore. But like, I'm not like super big into it. So like going into the game, like I would hope that the story is compelling enough. I'll say this, the orcs, like it looks good, right? Like, and I'll enjoy like the little Easter eggs in there and shit.
Yeah.
The only thing that's kind of got me though is like that little thrall baby CGI scene. That looks pretty bad. Like the little, I mean, I don't know how you do an orc baby and make it look better, but that seriously looks like you took somebody, you took like a fucking cartoon Beauty and the Beast fucking transplant. You took the fucking candlestick lobster thing and put it in the hands of an actual like CGI orc.
Right?
So, yeah, I hope it's good. June 10th is not that far away.
No, it's not.
A year before, you know what? So while Blizzard is gearing up to make big bucks at the box office, there have been a couple of gaming related, sad announcements. Mad Cats is more like Sad Cats, had to lay off a third of their staff. Aww.
What do they make?
Exactly. Therein lies the problem. They were Razer before Razer.
Oh.
Gaming peripherals. Mad Cats' big claim to fame used to be cheap, console controllers. Like when you busted
your
controller.
Right. No, you're right. That's where I did hear their name before.
Yeah. That's where you'd buy the Mad Cats because it was only like $5 or whatever. So the other sad news, our buddy Troy Hewitt, his company Gigantic has laid off a quote significant portion of their studio, and they're trying to find more funding. They're almost in full shutdown at this point. So,
but
yeah, that's
I don't know
good.
How that happens though. With like, they had that whole Microsoft exclusivity deal in place. I mean, like,
well, apparently they didn't get a big enough check from Microsoft.
I guess not, dude. They got the micro shaft.
Yep. Don't talk about Bear when he's not here to defend himself.
Micro shaft. That's a good micro show. Nice name.
Micro shaft. Yeah. Well, Bear will defend his Windows Phone and his Xbox One because he's got stock in Microsoft, so he thinks he's got to be Microsoft to help his stock out.
He probably owns a fucking Zune, too.
He probably does.
There are only four people that own a Zune. Bear and all three of fucking...
the Bill Gates children or something.
Bill Gates children, when they're like, Daddy, can we get an iPod? He's like, shut up. You'll take this Zune and you'll like it.
So this may be a little too geeky, but did you see this this thing I posted in the show notes about Amazon? They, you know, they've been rumored to be dipping their toes in the gaming scene for a long time, and they've never really done it. They, you know, they've hired some folks from Valve and they took over Twitch. They bought Twitch out, but now they've launched this thing they're calling Amazon Lumberyard, and they claim this is a
free, completely free, AAA level game engine. And it's made to make developers' lives easier. They've got connectivity work, which usually is really fancy stuff. They built a lot of that stuff in. And so basically the only caveat being, if you launch a game that you build on Lumberyard, you have to use the Amazon Web Services infrastructure to provide for the data for the game, of course. But this is, I think this is interesting, and it's built on that CryEngine DNA. It's they actually licensed the Crytek engine, went to town on it, put some cool new networking stuff in it, and then set it out completely free. So I bet Crytek is going, shit, we should not have cashed that check.
Oops.
So
I guess they could do that. I guess
it's mod friendly. Here's the thing I think that's amazing about this. This feels like one of those things that could spur on a more of a revolution in the, you know, indie games is already doing better than you could have ever dreamed. But a step like this really opens the doors for people who have the dreams and the visions to be a game developer, maybe even have the skills and the talents, but just don't have the resources to do it at an independent level. Well, now, there you go. There's one more excuse completely out of the way. So if you ever thought you could build video games, check out that Lumberyard engine that Amazon has released absolutely free.
Hell, man, I can't hardly play video games that well, let alone build one.
Right?
Speaking of fun little shitty games, have you guys played 30 Seconds to Fap?
No, 30 Seconds to Fap?
Yeah, no, I gotta link it to you. Talk about the Nintendo NX and I'll find it.
Okay. All right, so lots of rumors swirling around about the next console coming from the folks at Nintendo, codename the NX. And there's been something that's kind of happened here to make us realize that's legit. And it's actually probably been in development for a while. A guy named Steven Chith on his LinkedIn profile says he's a software engineer working on the Nintendo NX. They're on LinkedIn. He says, I'm working on Nintendo's next console, NX. So secretive that some days I don't even know what I'm working on. I do embedded system development. And so he lists that credit as having begun February of 2015. So we've probably got a full year worth of development on the NX under our belts over at Nintendo. And that's interesting. You'd think that maybe we'll be hearing more details about that NX very, very soon. And they're obviously going to have to do something because, wow, talk about getting left in the dust. Things not necessarily great there. As Dope continues to look for 30 seconds to Fap, I wanted to mention one of my favorite games, and they've had a little bit of a change recently, The Secret World from Falcom. And I know everyone's going to roll their eyes, but this game is still, I feel like, a really, really well-done game. And now they've upped membership rewards as they try to drive more subscriptions. So if you're a subscriber, there's an XP bonus. You get more black bullion, which is an in-game currency kind of thing. You get a lower cooldown timer on raids, dungeons, and missions. You get free quick travel. And so all that, plus some item store discounts, bonus points. So if you've ever thought about subbing or checking out The Secret World, now might be the time. I first got this email about new subscription benefits, and I thought, these motherfuckers, they're handing out all these benefits, and here I did a lifetime Grandmaster sub. I'm going to wind up getting fucked out of all this stuff, because I still tinker around in it every once in a while. But I will give Funcom props. Grandmaster subs are getting it all right away immediately. So good for them for taking care of us old farts that believed in them when nobody else did.
Do they still have the Grandmaster bullshit that you can?
It's open for it was supposed to expire yesterday. I think they extended it for a couple of days and they marked it down like 25% off, but they're closing it off very, very soon. Maybe tomorrow even.
So I can still give them $500 if I want to?
Oh, it's not nearly that much, but you can still give them a lot of money, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Over 200.
Okay.
So what is this 30 seconds?
Just click on it and play it.
Okay.
My thing, while you do that, my thing with the the next-gen Nintendo console while you're fapping is I just hope that it's not a Wii. Like, I don't know. Do you guys play a Wii? Like, did you enjoy a Wii, Rob?
No, I hated it.
Really?
Yes. I hated the Wii.
I guess the Wii has been successful for like families and kids and shit like that, but I just feel like the Wii has sort of like killed Nintendo's relevance in like the modern gaming market. You know what I mean? Like they always lag behind graphically, and like the Wii just always to me felt like a niche, like gamey or a chintzy like system. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's not like a modern console.
So is the entire point of this just them telling you to jack off and you've got 30 seconds?
Yeah. The point of the game is your mom's coming home.
What game?
The 30 seconds to
fat. It's not doing anything.
Well, it's supposed to load, but anyway, the point of this game, the 30 seconds game, is that your mom's coming home and you're sitting on your bed and you have to spam spacebar to fap, and you have to spam it to fill up the spacebar until you... So, Haystack is obviously...
Oh, this is hilarious.
That's pretty much it. And then it fills up, and then you just, and then if your mom comes in before you can fill it up, you're done because she catches you.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I can hear you. I can hear you e-fapping over the microphone.
Like, I want to fail now just so I see what it's like.
Oh my god. We can't have a podcast where we all take a break to e-fap.
At the same time, I want to see the little I want to see the fireworks again. I don't know. I'm so torn right now what to do.
Isn't I can't the... get to the fireworks. That bitch keeps opening the door.
Oh my god. I've never heard Haystack have that good of a time playing a video game.
It's hilarious. Angry.
Yeah. So we'll link that for all you listeners to give a shot at.
I mean, to give a shot.
Give a shot at. That game is based on Bear's childhood, actually.
I'm up to 400 and I still have not gotten to where I need to get, apparently.
400 faps?
Yes.
No, it's about the rate of fapping. You have to fap faster. It's not about how many faps you fap, it's how fast you fap. So, yeah, you might want to two-hand it.
Oh, that feels more realistic.
Anyway.
Oh, I'm done. I can't fap anymore. My wrist is sore.
Final Fantasy IX. Actually, what you're playing is the new Nintendo game for the Nintendo NX. That's their launch title.
Oh, it's really the Nintendo XXX.
Right. Triple X.
So, Final Fantasy IX has been released on Android and iOS. It has gone mobile. Like $27.
Is it really?
Yeah, they're crazy. I just thought it was interesting. Mobile has become such a big thing, and maybe it's just because I'm old, but I don't really get it. Like, I don't mind playing little fun chintzy puzzle games and like the, you know, the pipe thing where you gotta switch the pipes around to make the water run in it, and got a game called Drop where the ball drops and there's the little gap in the platform that you have to move the ball with the accelerometer, and little simple games like that that I can play in literally a minute when I've got a minute to burn somewhere, I get. But I just like what's the big one that our boss used to play?
Game of War.
I just don't
Clash of Clans.
I don't get it. Like, why would you play it on a little screen?
Clash of Clans is I get games like that because you can play it in little increments, but there's like a bigger part to it. I'm with you. I wouldn't play like fucking Far Cry on my phone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, right. I have things for that aren't my phone. Like, I want to play Fruit Ninja and fucking Doodle Jump and
exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think mobile is one of those things, like, you know, the industry is looking at it as like the next big thing. I kind of wish it doesn't catch on because I just don't, the game doesn't feel full to me. It doesn't feel like I'm invested in a full game on mobile. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, because You're looking at an itty-bitty little screen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even if you have a big phone or something, it's still a small screen compared to any laptop or...
Well, I hate to tell you, console
or PC.
But Dope, you made the point, or you made the statement, you hope it doesn't become the next big thing. I hate to say it's already the next big thing. I mean, I've seen more ads for Fruit Ninja and Mobile Strike and and these mobile games. I've seen a ton more marketing for them than I have any traditional video game.
Who's spending money on Mobile Strike?
Governor Schwarzenegger.
Right. So obviously somebody. I'm just wondering, like, who? Is it kids?
It's kids. It's adults. I think that's one thing that mobile games has done is I think they've crossed the demographics beyond what traditional console gaming does. I think it appeals to a broader segment of the population because it's a device that's already in their hand. They don't have to go buy that console. They don't have to go buy a great graphics card for a PC. They've got a phone. Excuse me. They already use it. Ooh, let's play a game.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know people who spend money on some of those games.
I mean, our old boss spent,
he spent more money than he should have.
$12,000 in 2015 on whatever that fucking game is.
That's retarded.
Yeah.
$12,000. Game of War.
Yeah, Game of War. He spent like $12,000 on Game of War in 2015.
And we're not exaggerating there. That's probably a lowball number, honestly.
On the war for that much fucking money.
I know, right?
I'm telling you, man. Ridiculous. Telling you. I don't know. I guess. I mean, the only thing I would really... I mean, I guess the one thing that I'm waiting for them to come out... You know, like the Fleshlight... I'm waiting for them to come out with like the Flesh phone.
What's a Fleshlight?
You don't really know what a Fleshlight is?
No, what is it?
Just fucking Google it, dude.
Why do I need to Google it? We're talking about it on a podcast. You brought it up. Tell me what the fuck it is.
You really don't know?
No.
All right, hang on. Better than telling you what it is, I'm just going to link you a picture.
I don't want to link to a picture. Describe it. We're on an audio podcast.
I want you just to go to that picture that I linked.
So, I don't want to.
So it's a flashlight you make out with?
Kinda, with your dick.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it's a vagina in a flashlight. So you take off the cap. I just linked it. Have you never heard of that?
Hang on a second. I got to fap again.
So, yeah. And you can get them. You can get a, like, there's a variety of them. Cause apparently this company right here, they've got the lady one, which is like, I guess a regular vagina. And then there's a mouth one. And then there's like a little butthole one. And then there's a stealth one that looks like a belly button.
You can't be serious.
Yeah. You never heard of this?
Oh my God. Oh,
yeah. So So basically what I'm waiting for is the Flesh phone. And, I mean, I need it to be fully functional, but I need to be able to take it apart and bang it. To have that be the next big thing for me. Because I'll be like that dirty grandpa that'll be like, all the kids would be like, Grandpa, we got to play Game of War on our phones. And I'm be like, you think that's impressive? I can fuck.
What you're looking for is an accessory, a phone case that also has the Fleshlight material in it. And then you can call your phone so it vibrates a whole bunch while you're humping it.
Exactly. Or actually, even better than that.
And makes moaning noises while you're humping.
Even better than that, with the advent of traditional smartphones, like porn has never been easier to get. But the problem with watching porn on a smartphone, as you guys probably have found out or know,
is dropping it on your face.
You can't hold your phone and your penis at the same time. You need to solve that problem. So that's
where that scar on your nose came from.
Exactly.
Yep.
So if they could just make the phone the thing that was designed to go around your penis, you solve all those problems.
Wow.
Speaking of vaginas and fleshlights, the division.
This is why we need Bear here, because he'll keep us on the rails. No. So over at Game Crate, I didn't know they did articles at Game Crate, but apparently they do. Or maybe that's not what I thought it was. It's not like the loot box. That's what I'm thinking of as loot box. So over at Game Crate, there's an article titled Five Reasons Why the Division Might Bomb. And I think they make some decent points. I thought we should go over these and discuss it and maybe talk about reasons why we're afraid the division may not live up to the hype and expectations as we get closer to launch. So obviously the division's been compared a lot to like Destiny or whatever, but the points they make in this article, they say combat is prevalent yet unsatisfying. And because it's based on RPG mechanics, the whole typical realism found in the other Tom Clancy games goes out the window because of the bullet sponging.
Yep.
In the beta, it didn't bother me because I knew that was the way the game was going in. But do you think that over the long haul that there's going to be a lot of people who go, this is just not, nobody can take 50 bullets to the face and still be alive. This game is so unrealistic.
Well, so let's just, before we talk about that, let's just go through all of them real quick because some of these are going to intertwine.
Okay. Weaponry, they claim, feels a bit generic and boring. I don't agree with that. I think the plethora of stats makes weaponry and equipment interesting, and weaponry has various attachment slots. So I think that's a terrible point. But they claim that weaponry feels generic and boring.
Okay.
Okay. Now, here's the one that I agree the most with and is my biggest concern. The full breadth of in-game content is still unknown. And we talked about this last time, how right now, as far as we know, in-game is the dark zone. Although, if you'll think back, when we first started talking about the division, when we were talking Wildstar, and we first said, oh, this game is something to keep your eye on, they talked about multi-group or group plus content, and they said, now, once again, this has been 2 or 3 years ago, things could have changed, but they did say at one point, there will be, at the very minimum, 8-player content. There will be multi-group content. So are they holding on to that and just not announcing it yet, or is it something that they've scrapped from the release of the game? I don't know, but that's one of the concerns, and I completely agree with it. The Dark Zone could be incredibly frustrating. You know, any kind of PvP can be incredibly frustrating, so I don't know that that's that much of a fair point. And last but not least, solo players might be left out in the cold. And they claim you can solo this game, but there's no doubt in the very short time that I was in it in the beta, it's a lot more fun in a group. So if you don't like grouping, you will not have as much fun as you will in a group. So there's the things they talk about. Dope, what do you think is the most fair point out of those?
So a couple of them I think go together. And then Total Biscuit, I'll just mention this too, because these kind of intertwine. He made a video on the division, and he made a couple points that basically echo this, but then he made a couple more points. One of his points was the lack of variety of enemies. So he said, basically, you're going to go through this whole game and you're either going to be shooting other players or dudes in hoodies, which is pretty true. And he did make the same point about the variety of guns, saying that you're taking generic everyday guns and you're shooting dudes in hoodies for hours and hours and hours. And he said that being tied to Clancy, he actually said, was a hindrance to them. He doesn't know why they tied it to Clancy, because what that does is locks them into realism. And when you do that, you know, there are either, you can't take these like artistic
freedoms.
Yeah. Like Destiny. I wouldn't want this game to be like Destiny, to be honest. Like,
I wouldn't either. I love the fact that it's more realistic. I am looking forward to shooting things that I believe I could shoot in real life instead of aliens or zombies or whatever. Like, to me, shooting zombies is not fun. They're fucking zombies. They're target dummies.
Yeah. Well, see,
and so what's compelling is the AI in this game, and we've only seen a very small part of it. It's not that you're always shooting guys in hoodies. It's what those guys in hoodies are doing to try to shoot you, and the way that they're going to function as a group, the mechanics they're going to use. The people who played higher level during the preview weekends and stuff talked about how the AI gets so much better as you level up. They walk you into more advanced group tactics. And so I just think that I don't know, maybe I'm a bit of a fanboy, but I'm dismissing the whole shooting hood things.
Hang on though. So this point right here in this article says the division also relies heavily on RPG mechanics. It also means that typical realism found in other Clancy games goes out of the window. If you manage to get the drop on a group of bad guys and land a well-placed headshot, and this is true because I did this, You come up and you're like coming around the corner and you notice like four dudes, you put your rifle like right on some dude's bean and you headshot him. The guy you shot doesn't immediately go down, but cries out in surprise, alerts everybody else, and moves in to attack as his health whittles down the appropriate amount in relation to your gun's damage modifier. This means stealth and ambush tactics are pretty much not an option, since every encounter you have with AI foes will eventually devolve into a prolonged gun shoot, which is true. So I do think that they have a point that it would be nice if at least the first dude, like maybe in Fallout, you get like a sneak attack modifier. You know what I mean? Like where you, if you're sneaking, dude can't seize you, you pop him, he gets like 4x damage because you, he didn't know you were there. I would really like to see that at least, because it is kind of shitty if I completely sneak up on a guy. That is no different than if I approach him from the front and just like do a jumping jack and alert them. You know what I mean?
I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with it, because there were times when I was playing solo that I would be up on a couple of guys that didn't know I was there. I would throw a grenade, and then I would start opening fire as the grenade went off, and I oftentimes would kill a guy within very, very short time frame.
Yeah. I'm just saying everything is a gun battle. Like, there's not a lot of stealth. Like, if they would have taken... Did you ever play the Splinter Cell games?
I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Last.
Right. So imagine if they would have taken some of those mechanics and put them in this game. So, like, if they were lone enemies that you could lure away from a group somehow, like with a, I don't know, a fucking duck call or a fucking, in Bear's case, in Bear's case, a naked homeless guy.
With a micro shaft.
With a micro shaft and 30 seconds. You know, if you could lure away a guy with like a rock or something, and you could just, you know, stealth him out, and on top of the have the gunplay, I think this game would have been over the top incredible.
They actually touched on that a little bit, and I like their reasoning. And it's
who did?
Some of the folks from the studio, I remember them talking about this in an interview probably a year ago or more. Yeah. I swear to you, I remember this. They talked about how they wanted to make sure that the dark zone and the normal zones felt very similar. And so if you have all this sneak attack bonus and stuff, the dark zones are not compelling at all, because it's just whoever catches whoever else first. And so that's why
I wouldn't
you're
think
not
you
going to see that.
Players that often, though.
Oh, come on. It's not that hard. Are you serious?
I tell you now, if they had really, really good stealth in that game and I could one-shot a little turd, I'd go hide in the dark zones and just wait for people to run by me and just...
Yeah,
stab him
easily.
I guess. Did I tell you guys about when I was watching?
Hell, I used to hunt the Barons, man. That shit would be a blast.
Did I tell you about when I was watching Lyric Stream and what happened?
Yeah, I remember you mentioning it.
That was pretty funny. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think what we'll really tell is after open beta, when we see like when they unlock a lot more of the game. I do think, though, to your point, that if I was a solo player, I would enjoy this game, but you really, if you've got a good group of friends that you can play together with, this game becomes 10 times more fun.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
One thing I want to point out about that article real quick, on the Game Crate, there's only one comment on the whole article. And, I mean, it's a negative comment, but what bothers me is, you know, there's only one comment. You would hope that there'd be at least more than one comment at this point on the article. It's been up for at least a day. I'm not sure.
A couple of days. But
2 days.
I don't know what kind of traffic Game Crate drives. I'm sure they've got plenty of people, but I don't think most folks are going to engage in an article like this when The Division's been out a long time. And haters gonna hate on Reddit.
Fair enough.
That's kind of what Reddit's for.
I mean, it is loot Game Crate or something. So I don't know.
Yeah. So moving on. Speaking of Reddit, there was a thread in Reddit talking about this video somebody circulating featuring an interview with an unnamed Division developer, and they claim that they had to keep the PC version in check with consoles, because it'd be unfair to push it so far away from them, basically saying that they dumbed down the look and the style of the PC edition to make it look more like the console edition. They're claiming it's total bullshit and that they built the PC edition from the ground up. It's not a port, and that the feedback has been very positive in the closed beta. I find that hard to believe because my feedback was it was total shit on the PC. But that's just me.
Didn't play it on the PC. Don't have much to say about that.
I do think, though, we talked about this when one of our very first Division episodes about holding games back. I think that's one of those things the industry will never admit. But I definitely believe that consoles hold the PC versions back graphically.
Oh, I do too.
Because they can just push. I mean, some of these games that are only PC based, you know, like the way they push the graphics and stuff like that. I mean, I just don't get it. Like, I guess it would negatively reflect on consoles if things looked like shit comparatively, but I mean, people spend thousands of dollars on high-end gaming rigs. They want their shit to be incredible, you know?
Right? It should look good. It should look good. Have you watched the origin stories, the live-action short videos they released?
No.
Oh, check it out.
Oh, you've got to check them out. They're amazing. Cool.
So one of the things we talked about was back when I was doing The Secret World, we talked about how Falcom failed at marketing The Secret World. Nobody had heard of it. WildStar did a little bit better job, but their marketing team definitely wasn't all that great. Ubisoft, they're doing shit right. I mean, these origin stories, these short stories are basically the origins of various division agents as they're becoming activated during this pandemic. And it's really compelling. It's live action. There's explosions. There's gunfire. There's a hot chick that kicks a dude's ass. It's a good time. Check it out. Absolutely check it out.
Okay.
It's really good, and if you're excited at all about The Division, it will get you even more excited.
Yeah, like I got done watching that, and I had to go fap a little bit.
And even in the video, I have to talk about it. In the origin story video, somebody shuts the damn door on the car. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious, you know, because that was what everybody talked about the first time it came out, and they were all talking, oh, it came out, you know. They showed a preview of this game, and did you see the guy walk by and shut the door? Oh my God! See, they actually did that in the live order in the origin story. I thought it was hilarious.
I think the door shutting thing has become like the showpiece for the Snowdrop. You know, they're like,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, look, you could shut car doors. It's like, all right, that was cool like three times
2 years ago.
Yeah. It's not,
but it was a nice little nod to that. I thought in the origin stories, it was pretty cool. So you brought up the Total Biscuit video, and here's one thing he touched on that we didn't talk about. The game, when you're not in a group, feels pretty open. And by open, I mean there's not a lot going on if you're not in a social hub, if you're not in your base of operations, if you're not engaging in a mission. If you're running from one place to another, you're running, and you're running a lot. And he called it a jogging simulator. Now, to some degree, I think that's a stylistic choice in that it's supposed to be pandemic, and there's lots of death and all that. But at what point have you gone too far?
I think this was beta. I think beta will be beta. I think that now they're unlocking more factions and supposed to be like you're supposed to encounter more like random
street
shit,
gangs or whatever
going on. Yeah. And like, I don't know. Did you guys see did you guys run into the echoes when they like when you it's like where you come up to an event and you hit something and like it shows you like a memory of that place before.
Yeah, the echoes were badass.
We did one echo side mission, and there was a you were supposed to investigate whatever. There was a guy playing a guitar, and his guitar case was laying on the ground, and it was detailed enough that the guitar case had a label that said, "If found, please return to this address." And I don't know if we were dumb and didn't see that the mission had moved forward a step, but I was like, I remember street labels on the map, and so we're running along this fucking street.
Had the map open. There wasn't any map indicator for us to move to.
I think the mission UI part, of the mission kind of glitched out, and we're running down this fucking street trying to find this address, running crazy up and down the street, and we eventually find it. And I thought that was really cool. I thought that was eye for detail. What?
What happened when you found it?
I mean, it advanced the mission, and we had another echo that we looked at, and then we went to another place.
And then there was mission indicators.
You didn't really, show up.
No.
Okay. It just was more like echo story.
Yeah.
So, like, the echo doesn't bring you forward to the future, and then... Because that would be really cool.
At the end, but we went through, four different echo stops.
Oh, okay.
At the end, we ran into one of the people in the echo, and that's how we completed the mission. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, right. Like, so I would hope that it would tie back to the
No, it tied back to the present time.
And he finally leads you to like a treasure or something, you know.
Yeah, something of that nature.
That's cool.
So obviously we're focusing our podcast on The Division, and we're very excited for the game. We're all going to play. We can't wait. We thought the beta was good. I won't say great. We still have our concerns. So I want to just preface by saying that, because I don't want anyone to think that we're hating on The Division, but I want to
round table real quick.
We just talked about some reasons it might bomb. I want to know from you guys, what is your one single biggest concern at this point, just under 1 month away from launch?
I guess I'll start.
Okay.
You know, my one biggest concern is the spongeability of the enemies. That is a concern of mine with the Tom Clancy name, like we talked about in the article earlier, because it does. Tom Clancy games have always been very realistic. You turn around a corner, a guy sees you in story mode, which is all Tom Clancy games for the most part. He shoots you, you're either dead or you're almost dead, and you get one or two shots off on him and he dies. In this, you're just going to unload. And that is a concern of mine, where you don't have that realistic feel to it, with the rest of the game feeling very realistic.
Okay. Dope.
PvE in game not being compelling enough to keep people coming back, and that you have to go to the dark zone, and if you don't, you're not going to get loot anywhere near what you can get in the regular game. Just the amount and compelling nature of the PvE in game.
I second that, but to come up with something not just a complete copycat, even though that is my biggest concern, I would say my second biggest concern is, because Dark Zone is the end game, is the Dark Zone compelling long term? And we talked about that. There's only so much to do there, and is that going to be compelling enough to keep people around? I just have to believe that there's more that they're keeping under their hat. It's hard to believe they would do that this close to launch, but there's got to be more to end game than just go into the Dark Zone, get some loot, kill each other, right?
So
it has to be.
What do you think about their whole, like, what do you think about the last beta and then their upcoming open beta? Because at this point with open beta, no ifs, ands, buts about it. This is a marketing thing.
Yeah, 100%.
It's open beta. It's totally marketing. So, I mean, do you think this is smart on their part? I mean, do you think that this is going to increase sales or decrease sales?
I think it depends on how it goes. I think a lot of people that are maybe on the fence about whether or not to buy The Division will go, oh, awesome, open beta. I can find out whether to buy this or not. And if it's glitchy, if it's buggy, if they have server issues, if they've locked it down to the minimal amount of content that was in the closed beta, then I think those do not necessarily bode well. And so I think that may turn some people away. But the game, in my opinion, felt very... Now, this is console, not PC. On the PS4, it felt very polished. I thought there were very few issues at all for a game that's still a month out. There'll always be squashing bugs. That's nature of the beast. But I thought the game felt very polished, very fluid. And I think it was... It impressed me. I had little doubt that I wanted to play it, but there was still a little bit of doubt there. And it squashed pretty much all that doubt. My only doubt now is, will I be playing it 6 months after launch?
Right. So, well, with that in mind, I don't know if I was excited. I don't know why I did it, I guess, is what I'm saying. But I pre-ordered the Gold Edition, which comes with all the DLC.
Right.
And, I mean, do you think I'm an idiot? Or would you do that? Or what do you think?
I will be doing that.
Really?
I haven't yet, but I'm going to.
Because, I mean, I look at it this way. If you're going to be playing online and your thing is content and you're going to be playing with a group of people, you're going to need all the content anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well just fucking bite the bullet and
And one of the big reasons I will is, we've played enough. We all believe this will be a fun game moving forward. And the fact that I know Rob's going to be playing on PS4. I know my buddy Poe. Our buddy Poe's going to be playing on PS4. Our buddy Zach's going to be. Our RL friends that are gamers are going to be playing this game on the PS4. You're going to be playing it on the PS4. I know I've got people to play with. Whereas there's times when I'll get interested in a game. Like, none of my friends play sports games, but I love to play football on the PS4. I don't buy it every year because Now I used to play NCAA, but they don't make it anymore. So I've been boycotting, but at some point I'm gonna have to break down and buy Madden because I love playing football.
I got Madden, dude. I'll Madden you up. Let's do it.
You'll beat my ass too because I haven't touched a football game in 2 years.
Neither have I. Let's do it.
But anyway, I know there's a large group of friends that are gonna be interested in this game, and beyond just one on one like we'd be doing in Madden, we're gonna be able to co-op, and I've always enjoyed co-op gameplay. We're going to be able to cooperatively kill motherfuckers in groups of four, and it's going to be fun. I mean, realistically, we do this stupid fucking podcast, and we talk about games that most of us haven't played all of them. I've only played maybe half the games we talk about. I don't follow it that much. You know, Rob's got a handful of games that he plays, but we like getting online and interacting with each other, bullshitting, and we're going to do all that, and we're going to have a common focus in the game, what's going on in the game, to make jokes about. And I'm planning on live streaming as well. At launch day, I plan on us being on Twitch, live streaming. I'll be live streaming from my console. I'll have party chat popped in. We're going to be making jokes and having fun and laughing our fucking micro shafts off.
Yeah.
It's going to be a blast. Time.
Exactly.
It's going to be huge.
Huge. Huge. It's going to be huge.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, anything else before we wrap this thing up? We're at well over an hour, so we should shut up at some point because I'm sure no one's listening anymore.
Nope. No one is listening.
Nope.
Nope.
I got nothing.
You got nothing?
Nothing.
You got nothing? I got nothing. In the fine tradition of our podcast, no matter what they may be named, here comes the laugh.